Okay, this is the intro with BB and Emily.
Hi.
Hey.
What are you doing on your day without screens, BB?
Watching TV.
Watching TV. It's actually not the TV that most people would think of. It's YouTube on the TV. And what are you watching on the TV on YouTube?
Old Minecraft videos from 2015.
She's watching a video game be played from 5 years ago.
Six years ago.
So is it riveting? Is it filling your life with joy?
It's nostalgic.
Nostalgic.
I'm shoved back into this 10-year-old.
Do you have flashbacks to when you were 8 when you watched this?
You're dinosaurs.
We used to watch it on Nina Sony.
Do you hear that? The noise of quarantine.
If we were in the States, I'd think he was selling ice cream.
Do we even have ice cream trucks here? We don't.
I don't think we do.
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-mm. Our ice cream shop is all the way there.
That's right.
And that is a convenience store where you can buy ice cream.
Hey, I take offense. Our ice cream shop is right here in the house when Poppy makes ice cream.
Come on, dude.
Can you make us popsicles?
Ice cream popsicles, man.
And with that, we're going to call this intro to a close. Thank you for joining us in the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
I'm Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
Now I sell a bracelet for 30 pesos.
And that would be Emily, my other child.
And I sell bracelet for 30 pesos.
Check out my Etsy store.
Yeah.
And this has been the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club, the one where we did Cody from March 23rd, 2021. Until next Tuesday, everyone, tech on.
Tech on!
Thank you, guys.
Stop promoting your bracelets on me. Don't do it. Also buy my bracelets!
Also buy my bracelets.
We're here, Linda. We're here. What's up?
When her husband took the laptop, okay, they brought me another laptop, and I have a laptop. But when her husband took the laptop back down to San Carlos, somebody changed the email. Why? I don't know. Now, up in the corner of the email, it says she's been paused. Her old email's been paused. And I've been trying
Chrome web browser?
Yes.
And these are the individual accounts?
Like right.
When you sign into Chrome?
Correct. When we sent the laptop back down to San Carlos, people that were on it changed the email on it, and I cannot get it back to the old email. And what it says is, it asks you to send to the address in Mexico. Well, she doesn't have the phone in Mexico with her. And so I clicked on don't have this phone with me, just like it says. Then it says you have to answer these questions, but it never asks you the questions. So it won't let us change it back to her old email address. And it keeps saying up in the corner, she's been paused. And I cannot get that off.
So when you see that she's been paused.
Right.
Right. Here's my screen.
Yes.
Here's my Computer Club account up here in the corner. There's actually, you can see two of them, right? You can see one with the browser. And I think this is what's been paused. There's also this one right here, which is my Google signed in.
Hey, Scott, I only see a really small picture. You aren't full screen with that. Maybe
I'm not sure what you mean.
Present.
Oh,
present.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it's my settings. Oh, there it goes.
So you're using like the Chrome web browser, and you're signed into it, and it's synchronizing things like passwords and bookmarks, and this is paused. This is what you're talking about is being paused. Is that right?
No.
Okay.
The problem is it's up in the corner, and it's a little oval with her picture, and it says the email's been paused.
Okay.
And you can't click on it. You can't do anything. And I can't get it off of that.
Can you right click on it?
I tried.
Okay.
But right here where mine says sync is on should be that pause button. What happens when you click on it?
It doesn't do anything. That's the problem.
So if you go into your Chrome settings,
yes,
it'll show you this account here. Is it turned off?
No.
So have you tried just turning it off and turning it on?
Yes. I can't figure out why they would have put a new email on.
So it does have a different email account where it says pause.
It had TeresitaLynn@gmail.com. Okay.
Similar to how I've got the computer club here and the computer club address underneath it. When you look at that on hers, is it the correct email address? It
doesn't come up like this. That's what's
right
weird.
Huh. Is it Chrome?
Yes.
Well, maybe it's paused because maybe you should go in and check and see what version it is. Maybe something about it can't upgrade. If you go to About Google Chrome, it will show you what version you're running and check and see if there's a new version. If you're outside of the 80s, maybe it can't update.
Do you think it's because we're outside of Mexico?
No, I wouldn't think so. That paused issue has to do with synchronizing with your Google account.
Yeah, see, this is the other problem. They put that email in, and every time you go in, you have to sign in, which I also don't understand.
Well, the confusion comes, I think, from having a browser that's set up with a profile and having a browser that's been logged in to a Google account. So if you look in the upper corner here of my browser,
yeah,
it's a little confusing because I've got two circles. I've got one representing my Google account down here, and this is everything that's happening in a browser window logged into Google. And then this one up here represents my Google account, and it's actually the browser profile. And if you look below here, you can see all my different browser profiles that I have set up.
Hmm.
But they're two separate things. You can be synchronizing a browser that's signed into a different user account. Like I could be synchronizing the San Carlos Computer Club with the browser, the bookmark, the passwords, all of that. But then down here in the browser, I could be signed into the Gmail account of my personal email. It would be two separate accounts.
I don't get what you're doing. Are you talking about up there in the thing where there's the picture of yourself in the corner?
Yeah, I'm talking about both of these pictures and trying to relate what they're meaning to.
Right. Okay.
See, it would be possible that she's signed in to synchronize her browser, but it's not synchronized. And at the same time, it's possible that inside the browser, Google has been signed or trying to sign in to a different email account. Like, for example, let me just sign out of here.
No, syncing is paused.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my browser profile is the San Carlos Computer Club. But now what's happened is somebody's come along and signed into a different Gmail account.
Right.
So if you go
right here, I could sign into another Gmail account, use another account.
But I tried that. I tried that. It doesn't even show that. It just shows a little oval picture of her that says Gmail, it's paused.
Right.
So you know what? I told her to call you when she gets down there with the laptop.
Okay.
Because also, the problem is that the phone number for the laptop is the Mexican phone number, and she doesn't have the phone there. We only have a phone she bought here in Tucson.
But you should be able to change that phone number in her profile.
This won't let us do anything. So that's why I don't understand. And I thought, well, am I going to have to reboot her whole laptop?
Yeah, but if it's a Windows laptop, it shouldn't be her Google account unless
it is her Google account. It's your Google account that controls everything if you're using Google.
So I'm signing back into the San Carlos Computer Club Gmail account, and it's sending me to my phone. Oh, no, it's not. I guess I'm in.
So I'm
back, and it's syncing now. By clicking that sync button, I'm presenting it.
So Linda, why doesn't she use Firefox?
What?
Why doesn't she just use a different browser than Google?
Isn't that kind of a distinction without much of a difference? I mean, she'd have to set up a whole different account, a whole different syncing mechanism. I mean, but the issue right now, I think, is that first of all, she signed out of her Chrome browser. That should be easy to sign in. I just did it. Up here, when you're signed out, when it's not syncing, you hit the button, it asks to sign back in. I think the real issue is she doesn't know what her password is to her Google account.
She does. So that's, I have it. I have
it. It won't sign in with that.
Correct. It won't sign in with that. And whatever they did to put this new email in, every time you go in, you have to sign in. And I don't understand that either.
Who's an email? She has to
sign in. So, Linda, just a quick question. When you use the password, do you get an error message that the password's wrong?
No. It just won't open.
It goes in. And then it wants like two-factor.
Right. It wants two-factor. Then it won't do the two-factor. I've tried everything. I'm like frustrated. And the thing is, I said, you know, you're just going to have to take it down there and let Scott look at it and see if I did something wrong. But I know I didn't. And this whole thing occurred when someone went down there and changed her email.
Okay, but is she trying to access her Google Chrome or is she trying to access the computer?
No, she's trying to access her Gmail account.
Okay, so
her old Gmail account that everybody knows, and she gets all these emails on, I can't get it to come back on.
So, Linda, when you say they changed her email account, you mean that it's just a different email that signed in, it was somebody else's email that got signed in, or did they create a new email account for her?
They created a new email account. Her old email account is still on her telephone, so she can get to it, but we can't get to the old.
Somebody decided the best thing to do was to set up a new email account.
Correct. So she can get the emails on the telephone, and I can actually get the emails on the other laptop that I have set up. They brought me another laptop so that
if she's got a phone that she's already signed in on, regardless of whether she knows her password or not, it sounds like she does as well, then it seems like she should be able to get authorized.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Through the phone, though. I think she needs to authorize through the phone, not the laptop.
Yeah, yeah, in one of those ways, she should be able to. Wait, why am I internet? Through one of those ways. Should be able to, with the two-factor, you should be able to verify who you are.
Well, they're not letting
you have a phone that's signing in.
They're not letting her do the two-factor because they want to send it to the Mexican cell phone and we can't change the phone number. It won't let us.
So you don't have the Mexican cell phone?
She doesn't have it with her. It's at the house. When they brought her up, they left it.
All right. Well, if she's got it back at the house, that might be the simplest solution, is just waiting until she's back, because then the phone would be available, and that would alleviate all the stress of trying to make this thing happen.
Right.
What's frustrating is when you don't have those tools around you, then your options become much more limited.
Right. See, I have another – they brought me another laptop for her, and I have a laptop here, and it has the old email address on it too. But a regular laptop that they took back down to Mexico with them.
Sure. It sounds like a comedy of errors. Yeah, it sounds like somebody thought they were doing the right thing and just created a bigger situation. Quite possibly it was because there was no way to get into her email account that they just suggested, why don't we just create a new email account for you?
Well, all they would have had to do is call me. I had all their information. So it isn't like...
Linda, we're playing on the same team. I've shouted that war cry before.
Why do people mess with things? You know what I mean?
It's a good question.
They messed with some other stuff too, but I was able to get that straightened out. When you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. That's my whole...
That's Linda's PSA for the day for the San Carlos Computer Club. I just hit the streaming button, so we are live. And today we are going to take a look at Kodi. That's the plan. And I'm hoping you guys are all up for this. I actually have this thing in your face right now that I'm trying to switch my microphone over to a direct microphone to be right here. Do I sound okay? Am I coming through clearly? Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome, Judy. Welcome, Dad. Welcome, Dave. Welcome, Bill, Maggie, Gerald, Paul. It's
your voice thinner. Your voice is thinner.
I'll get closer. How's that sound?
That's better.
Yeah, it should be less omnidirectional. I had an open mic on in the room to see more people. Oh, look at this. For some reason, look at this right now. Documentation. My layout has changed. My layout settings have changed. They've defaulted down to 9 when for the last few weeks they've stayed right up here at 49. In that respect, 49 is about as many people as we can get on the screen when we're using Google Meet. But I heard Zoom, one of the reasons Zoom is so popular is they can get up to 1,000 people in the same room. Not that we would ever need that. But if you're ever wondering why people are using Zoom, that's one of the reasons. A large corporation can all meet at the same time.
Half an hour. Zoom cuts you.
Well, I would guess that if you're working in an organization that can pull 1,000 people together to have a call, you're probably paying for the Zoom service. And so it doesn't get cut off after 45 minutes.
For our small group of the DAR chapter here in San Carlos, we don't have that kind of money to spend, and we do get cut off 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We had a happy hour, and Sam Rainwater paid $129 at the beginning of the whole pandemic for a year subscription to Zoom. And he figured it was the cheapest way to do happy hour because he doesn't have to buy the booze. They buy it at their own house, and it was well spent money.
That's great. I didn't even realize that was going on.
Yeah.
Well, today's meeting is dedicated to Kodi. I'll put this back up on the screen. I've got a little bit of a presentation next to me. It's not that we're going to go through the presentation. I might pop it up on the screen for some stuff, but really it's to keep my thoughts organized. What I'm planning on doing is sharing my screen and going through installing Kodi, which shouldn't be a big deal, where to get it. In fact, I already find that I need this presentation. What it is, how to install it, and really the most important thing is add-ons. So we've talked a little bit this morning and quite a bit throughout our computer club meetings about Kodi. And just a quick summary of what Kodi is that it is a media player. I call it an extendable media player. And to me, what that means is at its very base, it is a program that will play audio and video. And so that could be radio stations off the internet, that could be podcasts, that could be files, folders of movies that you've collected and you have stored locally. And when you first install Kodi, it is not ready to do anything except maybe look at a collection that you already have existing. And so what we're going to go through today is installing it, taking a first look at it, and use it to install at the very least one plugin and play around with that plugin a little bit. And I'm hoping that we will be able to do this on my screen in presentation mode so you can see how to set it up. And the setup after Kodi's installed, it is very similar on whatever platform you're using. I should mention that Kodi is available on Windows, Macintosh, Android, Linux, and it's actually, there's very good instructions for how to get it on an iOS device, but it needs to start out as a jailbroken iOS device. So that's an old iPod or an old iPad. If you're interested in trying to use Kodi on something like that, then you're going to go down the path of a jailbroken device. That's not as heinous as the title sounds, but what it means is that you're going to go outside of the ecosystem of Apple and sideload programs that you've chosen. And Kodi is one of these sideload programs. So it might be a fun project for somebody with an old iOS device, but it's two skill sets you're looking at. You're looking at jailbreaking your device, and then you're looking at setting up Kodi. So consequently, we're really not talking about iOS devices in this presentation. Also, I should mention, Kodi runs great on a Fire Stick. However, Fire Stick does not have the software readily available. And so there's a special set of instructions to install Kodi on a Fire Stick. And they are absolutely not difficult to do and very standard stuff to do. So just because you have a Fire Stick doesn't mean that you should be intimidated installing Kodi on it. It's very straightforward and easy to do. It's just that Amazon does not provide Kodi as software in their app store.
So
on the other,
what about
go ahead.
The Roku device?
No, it's not available on Roku either. So on Windows, on Macintosh, you can download. Well, on Windows, you can actually download from the website or from the Windows Store, which is a very easy way to get Kodi. It's just go into the Windows Store, search for Kodi, and install it in your Windows computer. On Macintosh, you need to get it from the website. And there's also Windows copies and Linux copies there as well. On Android, your Android devices, you would look in the Google Play Store. It's available. Very easy to install from the Play Store. And again, like I said, on iOS, it's not available unless you have a jailbroken device. And on Fire Stick, which is a great platform, it needs to be installed manually following a set of instructions, which is totally doable. And I'm here to help you with that, but that's not what we're covering today. So is there any questions before we get started?
I'm just going to share with something.
Sure, Cheryl, what you got?
Well, I downloaded Kodi this morning as we've been talking, and I just finished the downloading the application, and it took over my whole screen on my laptop, and I could not get back to you guys. I'm pushed things. There was nothing to reduce the size of it. I finally did the Control-Alt-Delete task manager and ended the task of Kodi. Because it filled my whole screen. There was nothing on the edge to reduce the size of the window. There was no way I could get out of it. I couldn't see you guys. You were gone. So.
Well, in fact, your experience makes me feel like we're still not quite understanding how far Kodi goes. I like to think of Kodi metaphorically as an operating system itself. And that the add-ons that you're installing are like the apps that you might get out of an app store. And so when Kodi's running, it really is trying to take over your whole computer system. It's turning your system into a home theater. And just a side trick, if that happens on a Windows or a Macintosh computer, you can press the backslash key, typically above the enter key. It's a slash that goes from the upper left to the lower right. And what that will do is reduce Kodi into a window. And that works on Macintosh and Windows PCs. Just a shortcut key. But its default, yes, is to go full screen and provide you with this media player experience. The other thing is that it is more functional from a touch device like a tablet or from a keyboard on a computer. It has a natural navigation with keyboard arrow buttons and enter keys and backspace keys. Then it doesn't have a natural grace with a keyboard pointer or a mouse pointer, though you can use it. It does work on it.
Now what's happened is it has totally disappeared. I thought that it would have pinned to my desktop or something, and I can't find the logo or anything. So,
It's well, cool. Instead of diving in on your own, why don't we get started with my presentation and you can see how I deal with these things.
Okay.
What we're going to do. Oh, I mentioned this. There's some background noise coming through here. Yeah. I think it's coming from Bill's.
I'm telling him to turn it off.
Who else is making noise?
No,
everybody mute. Another thing that I mentioned to people that were here earlier, I'll mention again. The latest version of Kodi is version 19. However, on my particular Windows computer, I was having horrible experiences with 19. I suspect it's running just fine on other people's computers. Some strange combination of Windows updates and my particular hardware. So I am not going to do 19. I'm going to do 18.9. Very similar software. Where did I go? I want to go into presentation mode, don't I? So bring this up. All the links that I use, I'll put on a blog post for today's meeting. The way we install an add-on is very important, but let's get the software first. We want to go to Kodi TV or the Windows Store. I'm going to bring up Kodi.tv. And up here, there's a blue button in the upper right-hand corner that says download. And if you scroll through here, I hope you're all seeing this okay. These are the different platforms that you can choose for. Windows is right here. Macintosh is right here. And the software does exist for iOS and TV iOS. But again, that's a jailbroken device. And if you're installing manually, like on a Fire Stick, that's the Android software here. And I encourage you not to try and do that by yourself. There's some very well-written instructions, step-by-step. And I can help you with it as well. Linux, you're on your own. I'm not doing a Linux presentation. So if you're doing Linux, well, Bill will give us an update next week. Now, this is the Kodi 19 version. That's not what I'm going to download and use, and I've actually downloaded it already. But if we go down here, older releases, there's a link here that says here, and I'm choosing a Windows release. Windows 64, I don't think any of you would be using a 32-bit version of Windows. And I'm going down this release numbers to 18.9, and I'm downloading this .exe file, this X64. If that's X64 is the platform that I'm on, that's the 64-bit version of Windows. It shouldn't be any more complicated than that, what Kodi release you want and what platform you're running. When you have it downloaded, installing is just the way you install on your computer. I'm on Windows, so I would double-click on the installer from my downloads folder. Here I am in the file. Here's Kodi sitting here, and I just double-click on it and do the install. All I'm doing is next, 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 next. Oh, and I still have it installed from the last time I used it.
And it's pretty blurry. For me, anyway.
I'm in presentation mode. I don't think I can do anything about it. I'm sorry. But the point is, it's just like installing any other software in your computer. If it's a Macintosh, it's going to be a different experience. If it's Windows, it's going to be this experience. I'll give you one more experience in Windows. I'm just going to the Windows Store, and I'm searching for Kodi. And there's Kodi right there, and install. It's really nice when you can get it out of an app store because you don't have to pick your version. This version, however, is the 19 version. And for Windows 10, this is the progressive web app version. So now I'm going to have two different versions of Kodi installed in Windows. That's a whole different experience, and we're not going to go down that road. But that's what the getting Kodi installed through the Windows Store looks like. Now let's open up Kodi. After it's installed, you're going to find it in your system. I'm just starting it up. We're still looking at my screen. So there's the full screen mode that Cheryl was talking about. Now, I said when we started this, I'm going to be really focused on single purpose. And so with that in mind, Kodi is so robust. It has so many different applications. This is a message telling me I should try the new version. I already tried it. I'm not going to use it. Offhand, the 19 version is working great in my Fire Stick TV, and it's working great in my Android TV box. It's just my Windows computer that it was acting flaky, and I didn't trust it to do this presentation. So Kodi's navigation has a bunch of features in this left column. If you go down the column, I'm using a keyboard now. I don't know if you can hear that clicking. You'll see there's nothing in the right area. And there's nothing in the right area because I haven't set up anything. Well, I have. You can see it there. But I haven't set up anything to provide those features. So what this is it's an organizational structure without any features in it. And being single-purposed, I find it convoluted to have all this stuff in front of me. So what I'm first going to do is make this easier for me to do my single purpose. So I'm not going to use Kodi to keep track of movies I have on my hard drive, so I'm just going to remove it from the main menu. I'm not going to keep track of TV shows from my hard drive, so I'm just going to remove that. And I'm not going to use it for music, so I'm going to remove that. Each one of these has, or almost each one of these, has the ability for you to start specifying stuff or just to get it off the main menu. And I find that Kodi's much easier to deal with without a lot of this cruff sitting around not being used. So I'm just removing all these side areas because I don't plan on setting anything up for games or for radio. Now, the ones we're left with are add-ons. And I'm sorry, I meant to uninstall this add-on before we got started. Let me get out of the way. So what I'm left with after I got all that stuff out of here is I've got pictures that I'm not going to use, videos I'm not going to use, favorites that I might use, and weather that I'm not going to use. I'm going to remove that now. So this is much more manageable now as far as our single-purpose task. Our single-purpose task is to use an add-on to find content on the internet to watch. Thought I just installed this. It's just pulling up, still in the inventory. Turn this off. Bear with me a moment. I want to give you the full experience of installing this add-on, and I meant to remove it before we started, and I'm realizing that it has another component that is convoluting what we're doing.
It wouldn't be a computer presentation without a glitch.
Right. Why can't I find it? Right. There. Now? Oh, there. All right. Back to business. So we're not going to remove add-ons, and we can't remove pictures and videos without going into settings. So I'll do that later. Right now, we're just concerned about add-ons. Now, add-ons are an issue with where they're located. Where do you get the add-on? I've brought up a web browser now. Turn all this off. How do you install it, and how do you set it up? When you're using Kodi, you get very accustomed to doing a Google search for best Kodi add-ons. You see the completion here, like best Kodi add-ons for 2021. You're going to find one of these like Troy Point or Wireless Shack. They're going to have their listicle of the best, and they're going to have a category of who has voted for the best add-ons. And this is important because add-ons change. They become more favorable or out of favor dependent on how functional they are and how well they're maintained. Right now, this Crew is a great add-on for finding stuff, and this Oath is a great one for finding stuff. And we're going to use the Oath because it's compatible with both the old version of Kodi and the new version of Kodi. So I'm going to put in our blog post a link that I'm using right now for best Kodi add-ons from Wireless Shack. We're going to follow that right now. And what we're looking at here is they've written up this nice article about using Kodi and add-ons, and they've done a poll to find out who likes the best icons. You can see the crew is up there with 211 votes. It's the most popular. This is what matters to us, is a list like this, the top 20 best Kodi add-ons for March 2021. And right at the top here is The Oath. Now this link, I'm going to click on this link, undoubtedly it's going to take me to the installation instructions for this add-on. And that is what we need. We need three pieces of information. We need a web address. We need an HTTPS address. We need the instructions for how to install the repository, which we haven't talked about. And we need the name of the plugin that we're looking for from the repository to install. Very simple stuff. I'm probably making it sound more complicated than it needs to be. You could read this set of instructions, but knowing that you're just looking for a couple pieces of information, you become very accustomed to just scrolling through a page like this. Here is location. So we're going to need this URL. Depending on your platform, I'm going to be able to just copy and paste this URL, this HTTP address. I'm going to be able, because I'm on Windows and I've got Kodi up and I've got my web page up at the same time, I'm going to be able to just copy this with the right mouse button, and I'm going to be able to paste it into the settings in Kodi. However, if you're on a Fire Stick or you're on an Android TV, you may have to type this verbatim. There may be no other way to do it except for a screen keyboard that you're using a remote. I'm giving you the remote. I mean, I don't know if you can see my face. I'm giving you the remote key. I'm giving the remote signal, and you might be using the remote to type out this address. So apparently Kodi requires some patience as well if you're not on a PC. So I'm going to copy that address, and we're going to go into Kodi now. And that address is the first thing that we need to get started installing an add-on. In this, I left these in this column. What I didn't talk about was at the top, there's a power button, there's the settings, and there's a search. What we're concerned about is the settings right now. That's that gear in the middle. So we're going to go into there, and the settings are organized with the file manager and the add-ons right at the very top. And these are the two that we're going to work with today. The file manager is where we'll go to create a source for where to install this add-on. We'll be using that web address that I got off the instructions. In the file manager, we're going to create a source by using this option that says add source. And this is the same for every Kodi installation. Whether you're on Linux or Windows or your Android tablet or TV or a Fire Stick, this is the exact same instruction. You choose add source. It wants you to create a source location. You select the none field and you type in that address, which I'm going to do with a paste. I hope everyone's able to follow me okay. You see that on-screen keyboard and that OK button? We have to hit the OK button. And we're back at creating a file source. Now we need to title this source. I'm going to go down here. It says enter a name for this media source. So what I like to do, because I like to keep track of multiple sources, is I like to start my source name with a period. And what that'll do is it'll put it at the top of my list. And I like knowing that when I look at the top of my list, I'm going to find my sources. I also like title them source, because if anything else shows up in my list, the period on it, then it's very clear this is a source. I also like to give it a name based on where I got it. And so in this case, the web address is host 505. So I would use that name. I'd put in host 505. That's where the plugin is coming from. Now, all of this is arbitrary. This is for your own organization. You could name this anything. This is the way I like to name things. so that I don't lose track of what I'm doing. I label it a source. I tell myself where the source comes from. And then the last thing I like to do is I like to put the name of the plugin that brought me to this source. There could be dozens of plugins at the source. I want to know the one that I went after is the Oath, and I got it from host 505. So I put all that into my host title, my source title, just to make it easier for me later. Because if I have to do installs later, I don't want to have to remember any of this. I want it to just be screaming out at me what I've done. So I've got the web address. I've got my source name. And I'm just going to hit OK. And it has added it to my file manager. You'll see it's the second one because I've already done this once before. So I've got two pointing to the same place. From the file manager, it sees it like a folder. And you can actually go into it from here. You can just click on it, and you'll see this repository file. It ends with a .zip. We can't really do anything with it in File Manager but verify that we're seeing what we're going to need for coding. So now I'm going to back out of the File Manager. I'm done with the File Manager. I am over-explaining a very simple process, and the reason is because if one character is wrong, the whole thing is wrong. So what's really going to matter in the File Manager when you're creating a source, get back to edit source, this web address has to be perfect. If it's not perfect, it's not going to work. So when you're putting in this web address, that's going to be the most stressful part. It's just making sure. And another frustration with Kodi, a pitfall to fall into, is you're using this on-screen keyboard. And if you're using a keyboard like me, it works great until you're doing things like trying to click forward in it or use the arrow keys for navigation. They will act strange. They'll be acting on this on-screen keyboard. So just be aware when you're putting this web address in, it's very important it's correct the first time or you're just creating frustrations for yourself. Okay, I'm getting out of File Manager, and now I'm going over to Add-ons. Now, add-ons can be installed in two different ways. They can be installed from a zip folder, from a zip file. And when you see a .zip, you've encountered .zips in the past. .zips, there's nothing, it's just an archive. It's just a collection of files that have been put together to under one name. So you can install from a zip file, or you can install from a repository. Now, a repository is a collection of files that make one of these plugins work, one or more. So what you're typically doing is you're typically installing a repository so that you can use that repository to install add-ons. So we'll use a zip file to get the repository installed, and then we'll go to the repository to install the add-on. Am I going too fast? I hope everyone's fine. I can see some heads out there. Could you nod if you're feeling comfortable? Yeah. If hold up a finger if you think you have a question or need me to go back. I'm really over explaining some stuff that is straightforward, but it might be whizzing past you too quick. So I just want to reaffirm it if there's anything that's not very clear at the moment. Okay, I'm moving forward. Jim, are you writing up a note that says help me? Okay, I'm moving forward. So we're gonna install from a zip file. So this has brought up a file manager style window, and we're gonna look for the source, and you can see because I used the period, it's the very first thing in the list. I'm gonna go into the Oath source. And I'm going to see that repository file from host 505. I'm going to highlight it. I'm just going to click on it. And now we're in a repository install feature. And you see in the upper right-hand corner, very briefly, a message will come up to indicate what has happened. I may say I walked away to get a cup of coffee. There is no more messages that are going to pop up. It either installed or it failed to install. And that message popped up, and then it went off the screen. So here's another pitfall with Cody. If you're not aware of that, then you might be getting frustrated, not understanding what's going on. If you go to install it and later you can't find it, maybe it failed and you had turned away when it was showing you the message that it failed. So if you're getting frustrated working with add-ons in Kodi, all I can say is pay close attention to the screen and be patient, because some add-ons take a while to install. So that gave us a successful message that the repository had gotten installed. So now I'm going to go up one link to install from repository. And we see that host 555 repo is there. It's installed. So I'm going to go into that. I'm going to select it and go into it. And this repository could be full of all kinds of stuff. These are the different categories that it's including at the moment. Video add-ons, subtitle add-ons, program add-ons, other repositories. These are fine. You're welcome to explore all this stuff, but it's not the focus of what we're doing. We're interested in installing a video add-on called The Oath, and we're going to find it under video add-ons. So that's where we're going to go first off. We're just going to go into video add-ons. There are two add-ons in there. Again, I stress, we have a mission. Don't get sidetracked with other stuff. A lot of other stuff in a repository isn't good stuff. It might be in development, or it might be needed by the add-on you're installing. But unless your install instructions are telling you to go after other stuff as part of the install, I would stay away from it. It's going down a rabbit hole of confusion and nonsense. We want The Oath. And so that's what I've got highlighted. I'm going to click on it. And this is all the information about The Oath. And you can see that there's a blue button in the lower right-hand corner that says install. There's also dependencies. Those are the only things available to us right now because we're not, we don't have it installed yet. I'm just going to hit the install button, and the first thing it shows me is a list of all the different components that this plugin needs to run correctly in Kodi. This is good to know if it's not installing. If you go to install the plugin and you have a problem, then it's good to be aware of all these things the plugin needs. However, assuming everything's going to work, none of this matters to us. We can just hit this OK button, and it will start the install process. Off to the side there, you can see installing 80%. In the upper right-hand corner, it says add-on installed. That message will go away in a little bit. If I'd gone for coffee, I have no idea what's going on except for this check mark to the right indicates that it has been installed. Now, we've gotten to this point. And what I've realized is because I already had Kodi installed, it didn't give me any of the automatic messages about security. So I'm afraid you have missed part of the things that you would have to click on with your very first Kodi installation. And I'm realizing it now as we've gotten to this point. So the question is, should I go forward with using the add-on or go through the other security issues that you've got here that you have to, I've really screwed up. I'm realizing that now, because what we should be looking at is being allowed to install the add-on. And I'm very sorry I've done it this way. I know what to do. We're going to very quickly set up, or hopefully we're going to set up near the Windows Store installer. There's my add-on right there, the Oath. You can see it sitting right there in the add-ons. And we are going to live in this add-on. This is the single purpose that we've got. I think I'm just going to go forward with the add-on, and we'll come back to the security questions, if that's okay with you guys. So all I got to do is click on this add-on, and this is all working the way that it's supposed to work. And an add-on can be something as simple as beautifying your Kodi experience with skins to make it look however you'd like it to look. or it could be for accessing specific content or content in general. Add-ons can be full of features or be a very simple thing. In the case of the Oath, it's for finding movies and TV shows. That's about it. And without doing any setup on this icon, on this add-on, we can already click on some of the movies category, and we can start searching for a movie based on any of this criteria: movies and TV, genre, network. I must have hit TV tonight. I'll go into movies. Genres, years, decades, people. That's people that are in the movies. So this add-on, they've coded it up so that you're organizing content by genre, year, decade, people, languages, certificates, like what it's rated at. There's something fuzzy here, what people are watching. That may not be working without something like a track account. Most popular, most voted for, box office score. They've spent their time, Oscar winners, they've written it up to organize in these different ways to look for movies. So I think all that's pretty straightforward. Let's just pick something. I've been talking about old movies a lot. Let's go by decade. Let's look for 1960. So this will create a list of all the movies that their database is aware of over the decade of the 60s, from 1960s, 1970s. I probably should have picked the 30s and we wouldn't be waiting. But there we go. So here's a bunch of movies, not in any particular order, that all came out in that time period from their database. So it may not be all inclusive, and it may be pages and pages long. You can see there's a next page at the end here. I'm just going to pick a movie, let's say like The Graduate, and hit enter. And now what's going to happen is this add-on is going to use that information of The Graduate, and it's going to search all these different sites out on the internet that host this content. And it's going to provide for us a list of potential places to watch the movie, very similar to how Streamio. While we're waiting, take a moment to think about how we haven't identified ourselves anywhere. We just installed this software, and we installed an add-on. Here it is. It's going through the list of sites out there looking for this content. You haven't signed into any Google account or anything like that. So this is all just one add-on. And this is what the results look like after search. This particular icon numbers the list of potential sources out there, does its best to tell you that it has what quality it is. In this case, it's 720p. I would never be scared of watching a 720p movie, especially older movies. It's fine. It's a great quality. It's easy to download. The source is the name of where it's getting it. And this cloud, the Cartoon HD, that's like an algorithm that's being used. And the last one is where you're getting the file from, that VidCloud 9. Oh, pardon me. So I'll tell you what happens after you use this for a while is you become aware of the sources that are most reliable or predictably reliable. So you look at a list like this. You'd be like, well, I bet I'm going to find it under this Stream SB. And I just picked that one first because I've had experience with that source and it's been a good source in the past. So I'm just going to hit it and it might just be lucky and be the very first thing, be successful. If not, what the plugin will do is it will go on to the next opportunity. And if that's not a source for it, it'll go on to the next opportunity. The only pitfall in this is if an opportunity. Oh no! Hold on a second. I gotta stop it, or YouTube's gonna hit me for violating copyright. This is the player window, and it has started the movie. I'm going to buzz. Yeah, there we go. There's Dustin Hoffman. But if I let it run, YouTube's going to flag me for a copyright violation. So I'm not going to let it run. And I've lost my train of thought. Whoa. Where am I, Cheryl? Tell me where I am.
I don't know. You said something about we have not given anybody any information. So basically, we have found these sources for this movie through an add-on. Is that the right terms?
That's correct. Think of Kodi as an operating system, like you think of your computer. Kodi is its own environment in itself. And we installed an add-on. An add-on is very similar to an app that you would install in an operating system. So kind of think of Kodi at the level of your iPhone and these add-ons at the level of an app you would download from the App Store. And the add-ons make Kodi work in certain ways. In this case, what we're interested in is finding movies and TV shows. And the better the add-on is, the better it would meet our purposes for that. I'm going to back out of this.
So you don't,
say again?
You don't pay anything. You don't pay anything. So you are watching these things that have been shared by people?
That's right. That's right. And the add-ons. Okay. And the reason I use this language of add-on and extending and your purposes to your ends is because how things are shared directly affects how the plugin has been built. The plugin may just have an inventory of sites out there on the internet where they've kept the movies on hard disks on a server. And so when you go to the source, you're literally asking it to send you a copy of that file sitting on that hard drive. Another add-on might be set up like a BitTorrent. And what it's doing is it's going out and it's finding a piece of the file from dozens of different computers out there on the internet where those people are watching the movie just like you, and you're all sharing a variety of pieces you've been able to get a hold of. And again, like I was saying before, another add-on could be dedicated specifically to making the Kodi experience look different. Beautifying it with artwork and text from the movies and TV shows that you're watching. So maybe creating more of a home theater kind of Netflix experience. And I'm only really talking in this way because there's a huge range of things you could do with Kodi. It's hard to be expert at Kodi. And what I would suggest is there's very specific things that you want to do and finding that specific add-on that will allow you to do it. So in my case, I had this interest in older movies, and I was having trouble finding the right add-on for that. This add-on, the Oath, I had been using, but it had not had movies that went back past the 1960s until recently. Just in the last couple of weeks, they have updated it, and now you can go all the way back to the turn of the century looking for movies. So because of that, I'm interested in this particular add-on. Now, I'm backing out of this. I'm working from a keyboard, and I'm using the arrow keys to go back and forth. I could use backspace key to go back to the page and the enter key to go forward to the next page. In a home theater environment, it's good to know these working with the keyboard. You can also use the mouse. It's up a mouse pointer, and a scroll window, a scroll wheel. I'm scrolling through the inventory using the scroll wheel on the mouse. I can use the mouse button to go forward. So I just clicked on that with mouse button. The mouse button features are available even on an Android TV. Here I am getting to hold up a keyboard, and I don't think you guys can see me. Am I appearing? Where am I? There we go. That's what I'm looking for, I think. Yeah. I hope you guys can see me in one of the windows. But this is a keyboard that I use with my Android TV and my Fire Stick.
Scott,
I don't appear like you guys do.
Scott,
under
we seem
the presentation.
To have the graduate. No,
is it frozen?
We seem to have the graduate running in your
I think maybe we've had a bandwidth problem on my end. I see what you're seeing now. We may have to wait. Let me just stop presenting for the moment. Can you guys see me now?
Yeah, you look like Dustin Hoffman. You look like Dustin Hoffman.
That's not me. Oh, I see what's going on here. Look at that. All right, let me refresh my camera here. No, something's going on here. Yeah, I don't get it. Why is it doing that? Bear with me. Technical challenges.
Try. Cody has taken over your computer.
That's right. Look at that. No, something has failed with my cameras. Oh, wait. No, I can go to this camera. It's that one. That one should be off. Now it should be on. There we go. Can you guys see that? Yeah, that's working.
Keyboard.
Okay. So this is a keyboard that I am using with my own. And now we're going to switch. Only been doing this for a year like this. I should have it dialed in one of these days. So we're all on the same page. So this is a keyboard that I use with my Android T, and it functions exactly the same way. I can use the arrow keys. Just realized it was the arrow keys to move up and down in Kodi, left and right. And I can use the trackpad and the button. And you can use the left button to go forward in Kodi, basically going on to the next page. The right button to go back in Kodi, basically going back to where the Yeah, there is some delay happening now on my end. I'm going to try and go back to presenting. I'm going to leave this camera rolling in case, because I think I'll be a talking head in the presentation. If I'm, can you guys see my screen now? Did I lose everybody?
Well, it's there, Scott, but it's like faded or black or.
Oh, good.
It's like
okay.
It's asleep.
That's what it looks like right now. Okay, that's a result screen that we used to bring up the graduate, or to bring up, I guess, went into Stagecoach. I started another one to see if it works. Again, I'll be stopping it really quick because I just don't want to get flagged on YouTube. 1939 Western Adventure Stagecoach. You can see a little play button in the upper right-hand corner showing you that it's starting to click off, starting to pop off. I'm going to pause this, and I'm just going to fast-forward through it so we've got a visual, but I'm not going to let it run. I'm worried about YouTube shutting us off. So here's the movie. And this is the media player that we're looking at. If I use my right mouse button or the backspace key, I am moving back to the Kodi software. And if you can see, Stagecoach is playing in the background. And I am looking at the Kodi menus. You see the Stagecoach in the background? In the upper right-hand corner, there's a pause button showing that I've got this movie paused, but I'm looking through my search results. Kodi, as a media player, if we want to get back to that video that's playing in the background, what I need to do is I need to bring up the media player controls, the navigation controls. And those are found on the left side of the screen. Over here, they're hidden. It's where this options is, in the lower left-hand corner. If I click on that, it brings up options, and this bottom set of icons here is play, stop, go to the next track, and full screen. And if you click on full screen, you're back at the movie. Hopefully, this movie can't be old enough to have a copyright claim. Let's just let this roll for a bit.
Curly.
So here we are watching this movie. And something's happened. I accidentally hit the keyboard.
Well, what do you say?
And I've gotten into this situation, and the movie's still rolling in the background. How do I get back to it? I go down to the lower left-hand corner here. I bring up options, and I click this full screen button icon.
What do you say, Hatfield?
If I'm done with the movie, I can hit stop, or if it's finished, it'll just roll out. The movie will roll off, and I'll hit the and it'll stop itself. And you'll be presented like this, the last screen you were looking at. Are there any questions? Because I'd like to go on to I'm signing into something, to actually identifying yourself. But I'd like to address any questions or confusions you guys might have at this point.
Why was the movie Herky Jerky instead of Smooth?
I would say that's probably my internet connection trying to present to you guys. I would say that's probably not going to be your experience. It's probably just, I'm like always, I got a lot of stuff happening on this one computer over here between recording the presentation and providing it to you guys and doing it out to YouTube. I think it's just, it's battling for bandwidth and performance.
Scott, I have a question. So this is the Oath.
That's the name of the plugin.
Is that, okay, the plugin. And the name of the plugin is the Oath, but that viewer, is that a Kodi viewer?
That viewer is part of Kodi. In its most base form, Kodi is a media player. And so that is right. The actual media player that you're looking at.
Okay, I was confused if the Oath was the media player or the Kodi was, but I think I got that now. And you said that those sources, they're either that somebody has a hard drive. Is that called a plugin?
The sources are where you would get a plugin from. It's actually where you'd get the repository that we talked about.
Okay, and they could either be BitTorrents or owned. If they're BitTorrent, somebody else is.
Yeah, I wouldn't latch on to any particular thing because add-ons can be anything. And that was kind of the point I was trying to make. Like, imagine I have a OneDrive, right, with my Microsoft 365 account. And I've decided to make a folder on that, a movie folder. So then I could build a plugin that searches that OneDrive for movies. And I could make that plugin available to you so that when you're using my plugin, you're finding movies to watch, but they're actually located on my Microsoft 365 account. Do you follow my example? And so they're not BitTorrent and they're not some streaming service out there. They're just sitting out there in cloud storage. And I wrote the plugin so that it would use cloud storage as its location. Does that help kind of wrap your head around what an add-on is?
Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking about Google Photos has this way of me sharing things with other people, with Google accounts and things like that. And then they have access to my albums.
Yes, to whatever albums you happen to have shared with somebody.
Right.
Or
right.
You've made shared. And Cheryl, on that note, there could very easily be a plugin out there that is all about displaying photos from a folder shared from Google Photos. Yeah. And that plugin, of course, you would have to sign in with your Google account so that you're authorized to look at that folder of photos. Or maybe the plugin, and this is a speculated plugin. Very doable. Don't know if it exists. I have never looked for it. But it would be a very doable thing to have a Google Photos plugin. And maybe you just have to give it a web address. Maybe the web address of the shared folder is all the plugin would need to show you the photos that are in it. But that style of plugin would have nothing to do with movies or TV or music. It would be about using the Kodi Media Player to play photos like a screensaver, like a slideshow, if that makes sense. I'm trying to broaden the definition of add-on because it can be so many different things. When I was mentioning BitTorrent, there is a add-on called Elementum, and that's precisely what it does to your Kodi installation. It turns Kodi into a BitTorrent sharing server, and so you do these searches for content you're looking for, and when you find it and start it, then it downloads maybe the first 30 minutes of it really quickly and buffers it so you can watch it. But then it proceeds to make that amount that you had downloaded available on the internet for other BitTorrent people, and it grabs its sources from other sources that are out there. So maybe you're watching the movie, but it's coming from 50 other locations all at the same time. So it's a different style plugin in that respect. So in this case, we've been going over the Oath, and my screen has dimmed. Let me go back. If you've ever wondered, I've three screens on my desk all connected to the same computer, so my eyes are going like this. And if there is isn't any more questions up to this point. I just wanted to show you the experience if I use my Track account. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Track, it is a program. It's a website service that I plug in to different applications so that I can. It's called scrobbing. Now I can't say it out loud. To keep track of what you've watched or what you want to watch. This is a Track icon right here, and I'm bringing up my Track ID. It's going to be very embarrassing because it'll show just hundreds of hours of watching TV. Here we go. This is my Track. No privacy. Everybody gets to see what I'm all about. It's a service. I have my own account, my own password. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to plug into this. What Track does is it keeps track of things that I'm watching and things that I want to watch or things that I've already watched. So it's something I've signed up for aside from Kodi, aside from any of this. And this Oath plugin has support for Track. Well, right there was a perfect example. I tried to click on my movie and it got mad at me because I don't have a Track account. So here, I'm just going to back all the way out so you're aware of where I am. Here's Kodi. I'm in add-ons. I'm going to go back into the Oath. And I'm going to go down to Tools, and I'm going to go down to the bottom one that says Track Authorized. It'll give me an instruction. It says visit track.tv/activate and use this code. So give me a second. I'm going to attach my Track account. Oops. I'm going to click on the wrong thing to begin with. Just so slow. It's taking forever. My own fault for clicking on the wrong. I'm going to go to Track TV Activate. This activity is fairly easy to do with two screens. This is what the Track Activate window looks like after you're signed into Track. I'm just going to type this code into that window off screen. Okay, that's right. DC, continue. Oh, I had one more authorization to make there. Let me go back to that window. Yes. Allow Oath to use your account. Yeah. And what you didn't see there is that message that had the code on it has disappeared, and it's left me in settings showing that my account is authorized. So now I have attached my Track account to my Oath add-on. Now this is really neat because now I can go into things like my TV shows. So here is a whole lot of stuff based on my Track activity. If you're adding to your Track collection, it's a very slow process to bring it up if you've got a lot of content in your collection. But what I might find very useful is this progress list. This should be a list of the shows that we're in or have just completed. Should be the most recent kind of stuff that we're watching. Google Meet. It's taking its own sweet time. Come on, progress list. I think this is fighting for bandwidth because I've got too much. Okay, here we go. I don't know if you guys can see that. Can you see that okay? So this is a list of the next shows that I may watch and pull from. This list is based on what I have already watched. So it's showing me the next thing to watch from the shows that we're watching. I can just like the movies, I can just click on one of these. The plugin will do its thing. It'll go out. It'll search sources out there that are on the internet. It will do it slowly because we're fighting for bandwidth right now. Oh, I'm sorry. It is TV. So it hasn't started searching sources. What it's done is it showed me all the episodes forward from the one I'm on right now. So I still have to go in here and I've got to choose the next episode I want to watch. Now it's doing its thing. It's going in searching sources, and it will create a list of places that I can find the file that represents that show. We're watching it go down the providers list. So far, nothing. This particular plugin does a nice job of indicating what the quality of shows are that may have found. So you can see in the results there, it's found 4 of 729 of 720p, the quality, that basic HD quality. So here it's created a list of potential sources for that show. And if I didn't have an idea of which one to click on, I'd start with the person. If I got lucky, I'd just be watching the show. If it doesn't work, you'll watch it go on to the next in the list to see if that one will start. And about the only thing that would trip you up here is if it picked a source that it thinks it can play, but it actually can't and it fails. Okay, so the first one it couldn't watch, so it's going on to clip watching. That next source, here it is trying to start it up from clip watching. Oh, and it's going to work.
The following scenes with coarse language is advised.
Moira.
Alexis.
Pause it because I don't want a copyright flag. So here I am continuing the episodes that we're watching. So this is pretty cool. That progress list from my track account is really nice. And I may use it so often that I would click on it with the right mouse button. Oops, see this work. And add it to favorites. So that's my progress list. And I'm just adding it to favorites. You notice it says remove from favorites after I've added it to favorites. So it's on favorites. So what is that all about? We go way back here to the beginning of Kodi, like you first started it. Back. I left the favorites list. So now, right after I start Kodi, I can go down to favorites and I can say, what TV shows are we watching? And I hit that icon that I left in favorites and it brings up that list. I go right to it. You don't have to navigate your way deep in to find that progress list because it's on favorites. You can go directly to it. My demonstration would be much more impressive if it wasn't taking so long to bring it up. So if you could imagine your single purpose Kodi use, maybe you're like me. Maybe you're looking for 1940s movies. There's the progress list. It's come up from the favorites list. So maybe, come on, bring me back to the Kodi startup screen. So my point is, in the plugin that we're waiting for to come back to us, here we go, you could go through a plugin, and not just the one plugin we have installed, but you might have a half a dozen plugins that you're using. Throughout the plugin, there will be areas that you can add to the favorites. If I just wanted to get to the movie section, well, I could add that to favorites. See that add to favorites right here. If, like I was saying in my example, maybe you've got an interest in classic movies. So maybe I would go here to decades and I would pick which decade that I'm interested in watching movies in right now. Maybe I'm interested in the 50s and I'll add that to my favorites. And so I could fill my favorites with everything that I'm interested in. Oh, that it should be showing up anymore. I may have backed up. I may have done that way too quick. There it is. So all I did was wait. I was just trying to get results quicker, but just by waiting. And so there's my 1950s list from this add-on. If you're using a different add-on, say like the Crew I mentioned earlier, it's a really good add-on for the older version of, you would just have your favorites and they'd sit right next to each other. The Crew provided me with a better list of 1950s movies. So I put that in my favorite. Or maybe I want to compare and contrast the two add-ons. And so I've got them both listed in my favorites. It's a way to take control over that. So the list itself isn't overwhelming. Here's all those 1950s movies coming up from the favorites. So I'm tailoring my experience using that add-on. So the add-on, depending on what you use, may have a feeling like a Netflix experience or something completely bizarre. But it's the same kind of thing. There's a bunch of things that you can do, and it's going to present to you the things that you can do. And they're all dependent. What you can do is going to be based on what add-on it is. This particular add-on, because I'm connected to my Trax account, I can go into the link that says new episodes under TV. And so regardless of where I am in my watch list, it'll show me the latest released episodes of TV shows that I'm following. Those are all my TV shows. So this is the most recent episode of everything that I've got in my tracks list. I think I misspoke that. This must be the most recent one that it wants me, that must be the next one I'm looking at, because I know there's more episodes in this. There's more episodes in this. So it must be the most recent, the next most recent episode that we're looking at. Again, the add-ons are different and they bring up different things. So that looked very similar to the progress favorite that I made from my TV list. I think I'm done, but if there's questions, let's address some of them. So Judy, you look ready to say something.
Cliff, new movies and what comes up on new movies?
Yeah, let's see what this add-on does for new movies.
Oops.
It'll take a moment. It's good to watch me doing this because you could get frustrated not knowing the wait times that you might have to do. It's not uncommon to just wait. You're click and wait, it propagates. Here we go. So this is what they've done. New movies. It looks like all 2020 movies are under new movies. 2021 is in here as well. It doesn't look like they've sorted them in any kind of fashion. They're not alphabetical. So maybe and I'll just speculate. Maybe it's the order in which they've been pushed out to DVD or put on the internet. Like here's Nomadland right up here. I think that was just recently released for streaming. Maybe it's not based on the year it came out, but it's based on the time it hit streaming.
And why do some of them have checks and some of them have boxes?
That's a great question. The check marks are the ones that I've already watched, and it's based on my track account. My track account knows that I've already watched those movies. See, now it's going to get embarrassing. We've been living through COVID, so if you see 100 movies here, I'm just saying, there's not a lot to do. Watching a lot of movies.
Hey, Scott, do you ever sleep?
Occasionally, yeah.
Or do you watch these at, like, is there some way of watching at double speed?
You know what? That's really interesting. The background of Cody tells me there could be an add-on that would allow you to watch him at double speed. However, I've never seen an add-on that does that. It wouldn't surprise me if one existed.
Somewhere I've seen, you could watch your movie, maybe in Stremio. You watch it at higher speed.
I know a lot of the podcast catching apps like iTunes or Podcast Addict will have an option for increasing the speed. So you can watch it at 1.5 or 2 times. But I haven't seen that in Cody yet.
YouTube does.
Yeah, YouTube has a function for that. I guess I've never looked for that
YouTube,
on YouTube.
You can go double speed. Well, so as a musician, I look at the half speed a lot to see how people are playing the guitar or ukulele.
Ah, okay. So because I'm connected to my track account, I keep track of movies and TV shows I want to watch. And so what I'm bringing up right now is the track watch list for my movies. And we'll see a list of, like, at some point I put them on the list. I came across it in my search and I said, I want to watch that sometime. And so I put it on my watch list. And so then I can come back here and, like, what was it that I was trying to remember I wanted to watch? And I can pull up the watch list and go through it and go, oh, yeah, there's that movie I want to watch after it comes up. After all, slowness, which I guarantee you I've not had slowness who's sitting there. I think it's just all the stuff we're doing all the same time. It'll be here in a second. But while we do that, Cody, sort of presentation, let me make sure we've hit all the points. What is Cody? An extendable media player. Media player that you can shape for your own needs based on add-ons. We installed the application. We installed the add-on. We installed an add-on. We talked about how to use it. What we haven't gotten into is advanced Cody. And advanced Cody is I'm going to post a list of working add-ons on today's meeting. So you can go and look at the best Cody add-ons. We went through the track account. I think I love track. It keeps everything on track. I now get frustrated whenever I pick an app or a service that I can't connect to track. Like at the moment, I haven't figured out a way to add Netflix to track. So I have to go into the track website and click off the movies that we've already watched. But I love track and I recommend it. It's a free account. I mean, obviously, they're using your viewing history as aggregate data to sell to marketers. So you're providing them with viewing history. That's the reason it's free. I will provide the how-to to install Kodi on an iOS device. It's very straightforward. And that being said, I'll provide a link to how to jailbreak your devices. You're welcome to read it at your leisure. It is a level above your normal level of doing stuff with your device. I would not recommend jailbreaking a device you're dependent on. There's always the possibility of it going wrong, and you'll read about that in literature. I would pick a device that is out of date. Cheryl, I think you guys have an old iPad that's gone out of date, might be ripe for trying this project with. Jim, I think you have one that's out of date as well. If you wanted to play with jailbreaking your device, there's some fairly straightforward instructions. It is not for a novice, not for the faint of heart, but it is possible to do. And so I'll put those instructions as well. The Kodi instructions for installing in a jailbreak device is very straightforward. And so after it's jailbroken, it's not that complicated. It's just step one, two, three, step through it. So I'll provide that. And there is very there's very straightforward instructions on how to get it on the Fire Stick. So I'll put those on today's meeting as well. So if you want to install it on your Fire Stick, everything we talked about with add-ons, absolutely the same on any of these Kodi installations. You're going to need to know where to get the repository, how to install the repository, and how to install the add-on. And I will provide this link of the best working. And one of the reasons I like that kind of article is because they will provide you with links to each one of those best working. We did the Oath. Here's the crew. Something called Asgard. Something called Free. Something called Mavericks. As you go down, if you go into any of these and you start looking at the instructions, you're going to find they're very similar instructions. They give you a URL where you're going to find that repository. In this case, it's Tempest0580@github.io. You're going to go into your settings, into the file manager, and you're going to set a new source location. After the source location, and I recommend titling it like I suggested. I like to put the name of the icon, name of the add-on in the source title so that I know what I'm looking at. So after it's created, then you go to add-ons, and you go to install from zip, and you find that source location, and you find the zip file in that source location, and you allow it to install. Whether it installs or it fails, it's going to give you a message in the upper right-hand corner, and that message is going to disappear fairly quickly. So you want to keep your eyes on that upper right-hand corner as you install an icon. If it's successful, it'll say add-on installed. If it fails, it'll normally beep at you, and it'll have a little check mark or a little red X saying add-on didn't install. After that repository is installed, then you go in to install from repository, and you'll find it listed in the list of repositories. And you go into, in this case, we're talking about video add-ons. You go into video add-ons and find that add-on. And you click on it and choose the install button, see the list of things it's dependent on, and click the OK button. At that point, it'll start the add-on install exactly like the repository. In the upper right-hand corner, there'll be a message. That's the end of the instructions we're looking at on my screen. But there'll be, in the upper right-hand corner, a message about that add-on. It might be a series of messages because it's dependent on so many things getting installed. You might watch as YouTube installs, as Python installs, as URL scraper installs. None of that stuff matters to you. What matters is that it installs successfully. If it doesn't install successfully, then you're on the search for why. Personally, using Kodi for a single use purpose, like the add-on, the Oath, if it didn't install, I would probably clean up and install the next one on the list of best Kodi add-ons. I probably wouldn't spend a lot of time messing around with one particular one at this junction. I would just go on to the next recommended add-on that I had and play with that one. However, the Oath is a very good add-on. It works really well. I think I've reached the end of everything. Yeah, I have. I've reached the end. I'm going to go out of presentation mode so I can interact with your smiling faces, because I feel so lonely over here in presentation mode. We're kind of reaching the end of our time together. Can I answer any more questions, or does this stimulate any more discussion?
Why are we looking at your left ear?
Sorry. Because I forgot that I set it to another camera. I'm such a professional. If you're watching me on YouTube, it all makes sense. Other than that, it's a little confusing. There we go. There we go. I've talked so much, my tongue is numb, and I still have coffee that's gotten cold. So do you guys think you might try this? Might try putting Kodi in on? It's a great experience on a Macintosh computer. It's a great experience on a Fire TV. Where it becomes a poor experience is when you get caught up thinking about multiple add-ons. I think that as beginners, you would have a much better experience focusing on just one add-on, making it work, having it do the work for you that you're not finding. We've talked about shows in the past that you might not be able to find on your regular streaming service. It's a great experiment for Kodi. And I float between streaming services we use, such as Disney Plus and Netflix and Prime. And when I can't find stuff in those, then I go from Kodi to Streamio, because there's always, you can't find it on one of those streaming services. I find it on Kodi. I can't get it to play correctly. Maybe it's choppy and all the sources are choppy. I go over to Streamio. Eventually I find what I'm looking for and I'm able to play it. And so it's just one more tool in this search for content.
I have Amazon Prime on the Fire Stick. I have Netflix on the Roku and on the Fire Stick. One of them is working with VPN. So I have US Netflix and I have Canadian Netflix, and I have our cable TV that I kind of watch my weekly shows on. And I, back to Bill's question about do you ever sleep? I have so many viewing options that I'm overfilled with it, and I'm looking forward to not watching so much TV. So there you go.
Well, and in that theme, throughout COVID, I've found myself theming my watching, because you're right. There's too much to watch. There's, and so that's how, I mean, we've talked in the past. I found a director I was interested in. And I, using the add-on, I'm able to search for a particular person. And those search results, I set as a favorite. And so I was able to just click on Howard Hawks in my favorites list, and it brought up a whole list of all his movies. And I didn't have to go looking for that director I was interested in any longer.
Yeah.
Because it was just in my favorites.
I have a small comment. Commentary.
Yes, Bill.
Well, I'm gonna really, really peg my age here, but when I was a young lad, we had one channel of TV, black and white.
Right.
And I was the TV guy. My family would just say, you know, what time is this show on? And I could tell them day and time for every show that was on our TV at that time.
I remember being that kind of kid. We had four channels. I knew all that. For me, what's been fun is to get with people my age from my generation, from all walks of life, and we all know like the Friday night rundown of what we watched when we were teenagers. We were all watching the same Magnum PI, Simon and Simon, you know, all those detective shows, Remington Steele. They all came on Friday night, right at 6, ran till 10.
Yeah. Well, I think the only ones I can remember, Bonanza was on at 9 o'clock, and Howdy Doody was on at 5:30 when I got home from school. That's the only ones I remember anymore, I think. No, wait a minute, Friendly Giant, he was on at 5:30. He replaced Howdy Doody.
I don't think I know Friendly
it's
Giant.
It's a Canadian kids show. It's very famous for Canadian kids.
Giant. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a marionette show. It's kind of like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, Alaska, we had Mother Goose.
It's hand puppets. It's not marionettes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Just like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, only one guy ran both the chicken and the giraffe. He was behind the castle wall. You'll see there in one shot, there's the castle wall, and he stand the giant standing in the middle. Well, the one guy behind ran the
what
the
is puppet. This a Mr. Rogers ripoff? What's going on?
No,
I think you're Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, you think so, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know what you can do with your Mr. Rogers?
Does this have anything to do with this Friendly Giant, the big Friendly Giant movie? Are they related?
No, that's not it. That's a kid's story.
That's yeah, I'm familiar with the movie. I wasn't familiar with the TV show. That's very interesting.
Different thing altogether. BFG, The Big Friendly Giant, is the book by Roald Dahl that they made into a movie. But no, The Friendly Giant was a weekly show, or it wasn't daily, was it?
God, no. You got me.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Sid, you can turn your Cody into a BitTorrenter with a specific plugin that you and I should get together on sometime, because I think you would really like it.
Oh, is it better than Exodus?
Well, it gives you more opportunities, quicker downloads, and you can watch in line while you're saving it.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. You can also set it in the corner of your house and access it from a web browser on your phone or your tablet or another computer. So you can send it things to download from another computer. Talking about the different ways that add-ons can be used in the Kodi environment.
Well, I
found myself stuck in. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
We talked about Kodi in Computer Club about 4 years ago, I think. And I started using it, but then it started getting really wonky, it seemed to me. I was having a whole lot of trouble with it, so I quit. I just downloaded torrents and then found Stremio and used it instead. But it's kind of fun. I got it loaded up on Linux, and it's working quite well on me.
Yeah, I had the same experience you did, Bill. When I first started working with it, it was at like version 17, 16 or 17. And it worked great at first, and then it just started having all kinds of problems. And yeah, I think Stremio is a much easier solution. It's a quicker solution. Go ahead.
It's much cleaner for somebody that doesn't want to really fiddle with stuff. It's much, much cleaner.
Cody crosses the line into hobbyist. Like a ham radio, a radio user, or a hacker. Stremio is like using an app, whereas Kodi is like you're shaping what you want to do with it. And so you have to have that kind of gumption to appreciate it.
Kodi and Linux go walking hand in hand down into the sunset.
Yeah.
They are the same thing.
Yeah, they're very much from the same spirit, at the very least. It is all open source, from what I understand. And if you haven't tried it, I forgot I had Kodi installed in my phone. And so it's been updating since like version 17 using Google Play. I haven't paid any attention to it, but it's got the latest version. Kodi 19 is already installed in my phone. I opened it up today and it was beautiful. It was very easy to use. I was getting better performance out of it than I was my desktop computer, because that's just the kind of world we live in where Macintoshes are the only ones that have all that performance in a computer. And it was just so easy to go in and use my fingers to navigate through it. And if you think about it, if you're using a mobile device like this in conjunction with a broadcast, some kind of like a Chromecast or some screen mirroring, you could have your Kodi experience in the airport using their Wi-Fi, and then when you didn't finish your show, just broadcast it to your Chromecast on your big screen when you got home.
There you go.
Well, dear, I'm gonna jailbreak your iPhone, and you can watch your shows as we go down the highway when we're traveling.
The iPad, not the iPhone, the iPad.
No, the iPad doesn't have data. It doesn't.
Oh, that's true.
You can turn your phone into a hotspot.
Yeah. Turn your phone into a hotspot.
And we have unlimited data plan.
Yeah.
So we can burn as much data as we want.
Oh, there you go. That's great.
You don't need that in writing, Cheryl, because we all heard it.
Yeah, there you go.
last year we were traveling down the highway in Mexico, and I realized, you know, what kind of a data world we're in when Cheryl is sitting there checking her bank accounts and stuff in between San Carlos and Hermosillo.
We're paying bills. And then on the way home. On the way home, my doctor was doing a Zoom public call. There were 125 people logged in. He was speaking. Like, I couldn't see the video. I could, on my phone, I could kind of see other people that were there. But he was doing a COVID-19 with our transplant patients information session. And I'm in the middle of Idaho, and every time we went around a corner in between the mountains and stuff, I'd lose the connection, and then they'd come back on. And well, this is pretty cool. I'm listening to my doctor in Edmonton, and there's people from all across Canada, and it was pretty neat.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Great technology.
We need to bring this to an end. I have run out of time.
Okay, before we go.
Yes.
My time here is 11:48. Is that the same time you have, Scott?
Yes. Okay. 11:48 where I am.
But Cheryl and Bill, you're at?
12:48.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And Alaska's the same way. I think a lot of you are an hour difference because of an hour ahead. You're at 12, whereas before you were at 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in BC, so I'm at 11, whereas Bill and Cheryl are a province away at 12.
So before you were at 10.
Earlier, so we're at 10:48.
Well, actually, it used to be that the San Carlos time was the same as us, and James would have to come on an hour earlier.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, you guys are on the same time as British Columbia, and we're an hour later.
Yeah, because we changed and Hermosillo didn't.
But so, Alaska, so now, Cheryl, you're in a position that when you come online, you can update us for what's happened in the last hour.
There you go. Well, there's been a mass shooting in Colorado that I just found out this morning that was last night. So,
oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. How weird our cultures are becoming that we've they shot 10 people dead. You know, just a week after they shot 8 people dead. Yeah. And it's like took till the morning for you to be aware of it. It's just, we've become very numb to this. Yeah. This has become the norm in the States.
Oh, well, except that it's Boulder, and that's where Jim and Linda live. And I was concerned that their son drives a bus on the university campus and was working. And he was taking witnesses to the police station last night.
Wow.
What was that meme that was going around the other day about the in Florida, that those 8 people that were shot, that the person that did that had bought the gun right before they went out and did it.
Yeah.
And so they were talking about how it's harder to get their vaccine. It's harder to get health care than it was to get that weapon to go do that deed.
Yeah. That was Atlanta, I think, Scott. Georgia.
Atlanta. I'm sorry, Atlanta. Yeah, you're right. I just assume any crazy thing that's happened was Florida. Well, Florida. I'm sorry, Sid. Go ahead.
In Florida, it's the cops that are shooting people right now.
Yeah, because the spring breakers and everybody out breaking all the curfews and everything. And yeah, it's a mess.
Well, we're getting ready for a mess around here. You heard that you're going to have a COVID test negative to be out at the beach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they've... I'm expecting... I'm sorry?
Is that Semana Santa?
Yeah, Semana Santa. They're not... I'm suspecting a fiasco because I think that they didn't want to put down any regulations to begin with. And other tourist places started thinking about it and started putting down their requirements for safety. And I think our local government was just forced to come up with some requirements. And some of them are pretty hard to imagine any enforcement, like that the one I just mentioned. Like if you want to be out at a beach, you're going to have proof that you have tested negative for COVID. Well, besides... I mean, how many people are going to have that test done to go to the beach? But how are they going to enforce that when it's Semana Santa? I mean, I can see them keeping people out of town like they did last year, but I can't see them allowing them to come into town and then going around to beaches seeing your paperwork that you're safe from COVID.
Yeah, well,
so
getting people off the beach is going to be very similar to herding chickens. That's pretty much what it's going to be.
I really feel like whether intentional or not, they've set themselves up for a failure.
Yes.
Because it's unattainable goals. And so I don't think there's going to end up being any enforcement. But that's all my opinion. Just I lived here 25 years. This is my opinion. I hope I'm completely wrong. I hope for the best. I always hope for the best.
I've always found in Mexico, they've got very good regulations, but no follow-up on enforcement.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always the way.
I have to agree with that. And living in a small town, because Guaymas is one of the biggest small towns you live in, everybody is somebody's cousin or uncle or aunt. There's always an exception to law enforcement in a small town. There's always that one person that's okay to go. Yeah. And the whole town's full of that one person. And so it's just hard to imagine. Mexicans are exhausted. Just like everyone else, they're fatigued with the masks and the regulations. And they'll show up in masks if that's what it's going to take, but they're definitely showing up. If we're not turning them away, they're definitely showing up.
Well, we got that one road in and one road out, so there is an advantage there if you decide to make a decision. So.
And they will. They've said they're going to put filters, they call them filters, at the beginning of town. Mm-hmm. And they'll be asking questions. They've said they're not going to allow on-street food permits, so there won't be any places on street. They've got rules in drinking on the street. I mean, and all this is – I mean, it all reads really good. Like, yeah, that's kind of how you'd expect Semana Santa to go down in the first place. But when you start with the premise that they're not going to stop people in town, then they're just going to be overwhelmed. It's funny. Richard and I have this back and forth going. He's like, oh, it shouldn't be you think it's going to be an enforcement nightmare. And I'm like, yes, I do. I think it's going to be an enforcement nightmare because I've lived here 25 years and I've seen the nightmare of enforcing San Carlos de Semana Santa.
Yeah. They'll be overwhelmed.
It seems to me that a regulation that says you can't have alcohol or food on the street is counterintuitive because then you're forcing them inside the bars, which is, or the restaurants, which is definitely way more dangerous. It just doesn't make sense.
But we could probably go through the nuances of each one of the regulations, but I think in the end, the idea is you're not supposed to gather, and they're trying to deter people from gathering. But you're right, Bill. If they can't be out on the street outside, then they're going to go hide in houses because they were allowed in town for vacation. So they're just going to go find a place where they're not going to get discovered if there's any enforcement in the first place. In the end, it's going to be better not to enforce it because at least they're out in the open air doing all that stuff.
Well, you can do it like Florida and just say, hey, we're wide open. Everything's back to normal. Let's party. And they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on the street partying. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, the one guy interviewed on the street in Florida, he said, we've come here. They said we could come here. We're staying in that hotel over there. But at 8 o'clock, they closed everything down. We can't even get supper. You know, like we can't find a restaurant that'll serve us. So
that's more restrictions than I thought was going on in Florida. That's impressive.
In Miami. Miami's good.
I'm not kidding. I got to go. My time is ticking away, guys. I got to say goodbye.
Au revoir.
All right,
hasta
la
próxima
Scott.
Vez. We'll see you next Tuesday, if not sooner.
This has
been the San Carlos Computer Club. As Bill just said, tech on until next week. And we'll do a regular computer club meeting the next, what is it going to be, the 30th? On the 30th. No, yeah, on the 30th. So bring your topics. Bring your questions.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you, Jim. See you, Cheryl. Adios, adios, and adios. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you are looking for computer help out there in internet land, I can help you remotely. So get a hold of me. Probably the easiest way, you can send remote@internationalcs.net. If you want to talk to me directly, just use Scott. Scott@internationalcs.net or Scott@sccclub.org. Go to sccclub.org to find links to all these videos, podcasts, puzzles that I make out of our episode art, and just commune with the club. Great. Thank you for joining us for this Cody special, and we'll be back next Tuesday with our regular meeting. Until then, tech on.